I hope I live that long. I'll have my remarks for him. My nephew, Andy Hope.
Thank you, Ellen. Honorable Justice Berger, ANRC staff, and distinguished participants tonight. I'm representing myself tonight. I serve as the executive director of the Sitka Community Association, and I serve as a board member of the Shiatica Inc., the Urban Native Corporation for Sitka, Alaska. I had a couple general observations that I wanted to make about the theme that the group of us that put together the program was working for and trying to communicate to the Native Review Commission and to the people that are attending tonight and listening on the radio too. We're very grateful that the Review Commission has taken the time and the effort and at great financial expense to come down here to Southeast Alaska, because we really aren't Inuit, and we really appreciate this gesture. One of the main things that we're talking about, all the speakers tonight, is our options, protecting options for the future, utilizing whatever tools that we have available. And the metaphor or the symbol that I use is masks. I think we've always worn masks, our people. Masks, not in a negative or derogatory sense, but in a symbolic sense, in a metaphorical sense. In the course of dealing with other cultures, in the course of fighting to survive, to protect the people, the founders and the early leaders of the ANB, ANS wore political masks. Is diplomacy not a mask? The Presbyterian Church, the Salvation Army Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, and all the other churches, masks, and all that education, the IRA masks, the Tlingit and Haida masks, ANCSA masks, ANILCA masks. We have always worn these masks. We have a heritage to protect and to deliver to future generations. I thought for quite some time what would be a good commemoration of ANCSA. How to best express it in poetry. And I found this poem in the dictionary, and as Casey Stengel, I think, said one time, you could look it up. I call this one ANCSA. Incorporate, corporate, corporeal, disincorporate, discorporation, incorporable, incorporative, incorporated, incorporeity, in corpore, in body or substance, in a material thing or object, in corporeal, without body, not of material, corporealist, materialist, holds the death of the soul with the body, corporality, materiality, as opposed to spirituality. I had some general observations. I think in reviewing ANCSA, one of the things that many people have ignored, you know, ANCSA is bad enough, complicated enough to begin with, but then you have the extension of ANCSA, which is even a bigger monster than the original act, and that's ANILCA, the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, the D2 Act of 1980. And there are a couple of provisions that have been bandied about as options under existing law that we could pursue to protect native lands, native heritage, native culture, native corporations. One of these is the so-called right of first refusal provision, and I think this is an empty promise. It's an empty option, because I think everybody realizes by this time that a right of first refusal is virtually worthless to a native corporation that doesn't have the ready cash of an outside invader. Another option under ANILCA that has been presented as a possible tool to protect native corporations is the land bank provision. Under the land bank provision, you could set aside all of your land or a portion of the land from taxation by the state or state municipalities. But in essence, what you have to do is reserve those lands from development. So what you're essentially doing is what the Sierra Club Legal Defense Funds would love is create your own wilderness area. So I think that's an empty option. And this has been presented in the media as something meaningful, and I think it's a worthless option. There's another provision in ANILCA, and I wanted to read it tonight too, because I think it's very important. It's kind of a motherhood issue for all the Alaska Native people. And it's not being enforced. It's already in place under existing federal law. It's one of the main provisions of ANILCA, and that's the subsistence priority on public lands. And what I wanted to do is read the two main portions part of them anyway, that aren't being enforced by the federal government, and that's Section 804 and Section 805. Section 805 is the main part I wanted to read. Except as otherwise provided in subsection D of this section, 1 year after the date of enactment of this act, the Secretary, in consultation with the state, shall establish, 1, at least 6 Alaska subsistence resource regions, which, taken together, include all public lands. The number and boundaries of the regions shall be sufficient to assure that regional differences in subsistence uses are adequately accommodated. 2, such local advisory committees within each region as he finds necessary at such time as he may determine, after notice and hearing, that the existing state fish and game advisory committees do not adequately perform the functions of local advisory committees set forth in paragraph 3D of this subsection. 3, a regional advisory council in each subsistence resource region. Each regional advisory committee shall be composed of residents of the region and shall have the following authority. A, the review and evaluation of proposals for regulations, policies, management plans, and other matters relating to subsistence uses of fish and wildlife within the region. B, the provision of a forum for the expression of opinions and recommendations by persons interested in any matter related to the subsistence uses of fish and wildlife within the region. C, the encouragement of local and regional participation pursuant to the provisions of this title in the decision-making process affecting the taking of fish and wildlife on the public lands within the region for subsistence uses. D, the preparation of an annual report to the Secretary, which shall contain, and it goes on. Now, what has happened is that the state has stated that they are complying with this provision, and the Secretary, through Bill Horn, has certified that the state is complying with these provisions. And the Department of Interior, the federal government, has appropriated up to $5 million each year for the state to administer these subsistence priority provisions. It's not working the way it's supposed to work. I think one of the greatest failures of the public education system in the state over the last 10 years or so, at least the last 10 years, is the failure to address all of the provisions of the Land Claims Settlement Act and the amendments to it. It's been amended a number of times. the main amendments were contained in the ANILCA Act, the ANILCA law. I think that current federal and state law does not preclude cooperative management of ANCSA lands by Native corporations and Native tribes. The current state taxation statute of it for ANCSA lands was amended and liberalized. It went into effect January 1st of this year. And it lays out a clear definition of development, water and sewer construction, road construction, utility improvements does not constitute development now under state law. And a Native corporation would have to be receiving a gainful return on a lease of their property, their lands. So you have a scenario in which Native corporations, which we are currently practicing right now here in Sitka for a small part of Shiataka Inc's lands, in which the Native corporation can lease at no cost to the tribe, and the tribe can undertake the improvements that are necessary to get the land into where it is economically viable enterprise. So those are some of the main points I wanted to make, and Roger Snippen will pick up from here on the ill-fated corporation that we have in Sitka. Thank you.
Commissioner Berger, welcome to Sitka. I'm Roger Snippen, the President and Chief Executive Officer for Shiataka Corporation, the ANCSA Corporation for the Natives of Sitka. The Shiataka Corporation was founded in 1974 under the provisions of ANCSA, Section 14H3. To date, the corporation has had an extremely difficult time. They've existed solely on borrowed funds. They don't share in the provisions of 7I of the Settlement Act. As an urban corporation, the 7I money distributions from the regionals are excluded. So while the corporation did receive $250,000 back, I believe it was 1974, for organizational costs, those particular funds are long since spent. And the corporation did not receive its land entitlements, the first part of its land entitlements, until December of 1981 through ANILCA. Now, most people know of the Settlement Act, but they really don't know what it says. And the same with ANILCA. I've just been in Alaska for 2 years, and prior to coming to Alaska, I never did hear of the Native Claims Settlement Act, but I heard of D2. And down south, the press was referring to D2 as a Great Alaska Land Grab. All you'd heard about was mining interests, oil interests, and timber interests. You didn't hear anything about the Native settlements, the Native provisions in the Act. And it's kind of disturbing to come to Alaska where we have such a small population and such a large land mass, and to find that the majority of the decision makers within the country, the congressional delegation, which represents the population center, does not really understand the implications of the Native Settlement Act. And which is even more disturbing to me is to find that the general shareholder on the street does not understand it and does not know what it did to them and for them. For example, within the Native Claims Settlement Act, it starts out by Section 2. Now, this is a little bit of ad-libbing. I've excluded some of the peripheral language. But it's a Section 2. Congress finds and declares that there is an immediate need for a fair and just settlement of all claims by Natives and Native groups of Alaska based on Aboriginal land claims. The Declaration of Settlement, Section 4A. All prior conveyances of public land and water areas in Alaska or any interest therein shall be regarded as an extinguishment of the aboriginal title thereto, if any. 4B, all aboriginal titles, if any, and claims of aboriginal title in Alaska based on use or occupancy, including any aboriginal hunting or fishing right that may exist, are hereby extinguished. 4C, all claims against persons that are based on claims of aboriginal title, right, use, or occupancy are hereby extinguished. Section 8, the native residents of each native village entitled to receive lands and benefits under this act shall organize as a business for profit or nonprofit corporation. So it's very clear what the natives gave up to receive a settlement. They gave up all aboriginal claims. What did you get for the settlement? Anilka, as it applies primarily, as I'm familiar with the Sciatica selection, was the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, which is basically a, as I perceive it, a tremendous land use plan where the entire acreage of Alaska was set aside for various uses. Everything from timbering to mining to native settlements and set asides for wilderness and recreational areas. The settlement for Sciatica included 23,000 acres on Admiralty Island. Now it's clear what Anska did as far as the natives of Sitka, the shareholders of Sciatica, giving up their rights as natives of Alaska did. But what Anilka did is even more confusing. As been alluded to here earlier, it's a very confusing and complex act. Recently, a U.S. District Court judge in Anchorage issued an injunction upon the corporation's logging operation on our lands at Admiralty Island. Now, this man is a gentleman that undoubtedly attended 6 years of law school, probably spent 2 years clerking, several years as a private attorney, several years as a state superior court judge, and finally, many years as a United States District Court judge. And the basis of his findings, in which he decided that our operation should be halted, is basically as follows. Now, this is layman's terms. And to me, it'd be humorous if it wasn't so serious. Basically what the judge said is section 506C of Anilka gave you the land, but 503D said you can't use it. However, 103C said you can use it, but 103A indicates no, you can't use it. However, 1024 says you can use it, and 1042C or C2, but House of Representatives Bill 39 says maybe you can. But then again, section 315 of Public Law 97-394 says yes, you can use it, but 506A2 says maybe, maybe yes, maybe no. And section 801, 804, 810A don't really apply to you. But I will rule that you do own the land, but I will not rule that you can use the land. So, until I decide what you can do, I'm going to stop whatever you're doing. It's, I just gleaned that from the memorandum in order for issuing the injunction. It's very clear the Congress took away aboriginal rights, but it's very unclear what rights they reinstalled upon the natives. Like I said, I'm rather new to Alaska, so I probably come across with an entirely different view than the average individual on the street. And I have been hired as the business manager for the Sciatica Corporation. The Sciatica board has been extensively frustrated by the courts, by uninformed shareholders. They've received a lot of criticism because the word is not getting out to the shareholder as to what's going on. But immediately upon receiving conveyance to the land, special interest groups sought to invalidate those titles. They filed a suit trying to take away that land settlement. And to ensure that it couldn't be developed, they filed what is called a lis pendens, serving notice to all bankers or financial institutions that there's a lawsuit pending seeking to invalidate those titles. So you couldn't use that asset as a collateral to attract capital to the corporation to build on. And of course, a corporation without money is just a shell. You can't operate. You can't provide services. So most of the natives of Sitka and other communities I've talked to, the primary idea of benefits is comes in the form of jobs and in the form of dividends. What jobs, what dividends have been received by the natives of Sitka? And as it looks today, it's going to be years coming before there's dividends. If we're fortunate in the courts, and if the courts act quickly, there may be some jobs yet this year. That's something we can't promise. It's something we hope to promise. We have been working with Sitka Community Association through their, some of their programs, trying to get some funding to support some training positions. We also hope to have some positions for qualified, skilled individuals. The point remains that it's been basically 11, 12 years after ANSCA, and the natives of Sitka, as I perceive it, have not received any tangible benefits from the act. It's very obvious what they gave up, but what they got is still in question. I think one of the big problems they have is outside influences upon the Native Settlement Act and upon ANILCA. Special interests seeking their own individual gain. And as I perceive it, generally an affluent society from down south, the doctors and attorneys and dentists and this category of people who have made their wealth in the world and have time to recreate and enjoy the out-of-doors, want to make Alaska their playground. If you look at a map of the Tongass National Forest, approximately 85% of it's locked up in a specific wilderness set aside or non-use category, special use category other than resource use or commercial development. The Shattuck Corporation owns less than 2% of Admiralty Island, and still this group wants our 2% of the island. The claims that are made in court are generally frivolous, but they do delay and they do cost our shareholders money. They're not costing a nebulous corporation money, they're costing individuals. 1,927 shareholders, if I remember the last tally at our close of records last year. So 1,927 shareholders, every $1,927 we spend is a dollar from each individual. And that's the way I perceive the cost of the corporation. It's not out of corporate funds, but it's out of the shareholder's pocket. That's a dollar that we can't give to the shareholder because we've spent it trying to defend the rights as prescribed by ANILCA. To date, we spent over $1,800,000 just defending those rights, and are, as far as I can see by this last order, we're no closer than we were a year ago. What's the resolution? I don't know. March 10th, according to this letter, I had a letter from Department of Interior across my desk, which I didn't even know was going on. What it amounted to, it was a Sierra Club appeal of the BLM land use plan pertaining to Section 22K of ANILCA. Well, what's 22K? 22K specified that for a given period of time after the act, all native corporations were required to manage their forest lands according to federal statutes, according to the same land use plans, same standards that the Forest Service managed their lands. This appeal was dismissed, but this is what it was trying to accomplish. It says, this appeal is brought by the Alaska chapter of the Sierra Club Incorporated and the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council Incorporated, from the approval by the Alaska State Office Bureau of Land Management of the plan action for meeting the requirements of Section 22K of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. The plan is alleged to be invalid. Appellants, this is the Sierra Club, have requested a reversal of the planned approval, a halt in conveying national forest lands to Native corporations under ANSCA, and a halt in timber harvesting on such lands already conveyed until a proper plan is approved. In 1983, we were in court, my memory serves me right, in excess of 14 times. Most of them are the same issues. The regulatory agencies, not Sciatica, were the ones being sued. But the effect of their decisions upon Sciatica was imperative that we were intervened in those cases to defend the rights of our shareholders. Our opposition sued DEC, that's the Department of Environmental Conservation, Department of Natural Resources, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the Department of Interior. Before we got to court, they usually made administrative appeals, and the whole basic tactic was a delay, to stall, win by attrition, win by wearing down. Well, 12 years later, where are we? We're still fighting, we're still treading water. As far as I can see, the natives of Sitka are no closer to receiving a dividend than they were 10 years ago. If nothing else, we're farther away. We're farther in debt. Every nickel we spent's been borrowed. Initially, a line of credit was established through Sea Alaska. That debt has not been repaid. In building the hotel, we were fortunate to secure a Bureau of Indian Affairs guaranteed loan. That loan is being repaid sometimes. But it's a cash drain upon the corporation. When the hotel was built, the feasibility study indicated that there is a sustainable room night occupancy in this town of about 127 rooms per night. In other words, there's enough business travel, enough tourists come into town, that a hotel of 127 rooms would be a very profitable venture. Within months, Brand X showed up. In fact, the other facility was completed before ours. So overnight you had two hotels, double the installed occupancy. Both are losing money. Even though part of it is a paper loss through depreciation, much of it is a cash drain because it's not covering its operating costs. Anyone that goes into our hotel will find sometimes service is lacking. You look around, some of the carpets are tacky or worn. Maybe the grounds aren't kept too nice. Well, that's not because that's where we want to keep it, but it's because that's one of the items that we're doing, trying to keep the doors open. Has ANSCA been a blessing to the natives? That's something only you'll be able to answer. I think one of the ways to answer that question might be, is this what your grandparents envisioned when they were fighting for ANSCA? Is ANILCA the outcome of that, what they envisioned when they were fighting for ANSCA? I don't believe it is. What's 1991? No one knows. All we know is it might be a real catastrophe for the native land claims, or it might be a real benefit. 1991, the stocks are open to purchase by virtually anyone, native or non-native, any corporation, native or non-native. The Weyerhaeuser Company, which is a multi-million dollar company, could come in and with the assets that Sciatica has, if they decided their debt to assets or capital was proper, and each individual out there owns 100 shares of stock, they might have a value of $93 a share. And as Andy was referring to earlier about the first right of refusal, according to ANILCA, which would allow the corporation to purchase its own stock, thereby keeping the control of the corporation in native hands, is a meaningless provision. Any bank, any large corporation with the ability to attract the capital that they have could outbid any native corporation in Alaska, including Sea Alaska Corporation, for their own stock. Sure, we might be able to retain some of it, but the majority of it, we couldn't. We just don't have the capital. We can't buy our own shares. If you wanted to sell your stock so that perhaps you could buy a new boat, maybe $500 or $10,000 in your pockets, so worth a whole lot more to a drawer full of paper. The thing is, I think most people are getting wore out in discussing the problems. What is the hope for tomorrow? And I think the hope for tomorrow is that the ANB and the other Native organizations, ANS, will not give up the fight. They will continue struggling for the rights of ANSCA. Because their previous struggles resulted in ANSCA, there still needs a lot of work to be done to ensure that those settlement rights are not usurped by non-Native entities. You know, it's kind of obvious I'm non-Native, and there's nothing I would dearly love more than to own stock in this corporation. Immediately, it looks rather bleak. But I believe in the future that it's going to be a very, very significant asset to everyone. It'll be something to point to with pride. But there's a lot of problems in the meantime. Sika Community Association and the Shattuck Board have been addressing many of the problems. The charcoal and Alice Island issue over here, there's been criticisms. Well, as a profit corporation, why do you let SCA use it and not charge them rent? The first thing, we don't own them yet. The Act says we're going to be conveyed those lands, but to date we don't own them. They still belong to the Bureau of Land Management. Sika Community Association. Saying that we don't mind if somebody else is using it when we get conveyance. That way it would help provide a benefit to some shareholders. It'll also, in the long run, provide a benefit to the Shattuck shareholders in specific. Through Sika Community Association, they're eligible for certain development funds, which as a profit corporation, we are not. Many of those development funds they've put into new utility system, renovating certain structures, and various programs like that. Once those lands are conveyed to the corporation, they're corporation properties. The money that they put into those structures increase the assets of the corporation, increase the value of your shares. I think one thing all natives have to keep in mind is that for years and years, the elders, your grandparents in AMB, ANS, fought for ANSCA. ANSCA and ANILCA, like it or not, are a birthright. There's something to pass on to your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Those little pieces of paper laying in a dresser drawer or stuffed in a cupboard somewhere are all you have as a heritage. ANSCA said you don't have any rights. You gave them all up. All Aboriginal rights are extinguished. So what you've got is Congress's modern version of rights as natives. So the fight is far from over. In fact, as I perceive it, it's just beginning to keep from losing what you've got. We're not taking this lightly at all. The problem is, within our corporation, we have 3 full-time staff members, 2 whites, 1 native. Is that what ANILCA was about? Is that what ANSCA was about? I don't believe it is. We don't operate with 3 staff members because we enjoy it. It's just because we can't afford anymore. We can't justify anymore. We're fighting daily just to maintain our doors open. This last ruling by a federal judge puts greater question on how long we'll keep those doors open. And what happens if, for some reason, the corporation would fold before 1991? You don't have to worry about stock alienation. It's already been alienated if the corporation would fold before that date. Not only our corporation, but what about the others? What about Sea Alaska? What about some of those interior corporations that don't have any resources to speak of and don't have any cash to operate on? How are they going to survive? What's going to be the benefit to generations to come of natives? This doesn't even address the natives born since 1971, but there's many, many issues which have to be addressed. Mark Jacob addressed some of the injustices of Anilka. Isabel addressed some of the problems with education and the fact that basically the history in Tlingit was a oral history. Anilka is a written history. And I think there's a little bit of a cultural transition or gap here in the fact that many of the leaders or the older generation within the Native society have a little trouble with all this legal mumbo-jumbo that you see in the act, and what does it mean? And so they rely upon word of mouth. What did Mark tell me the act says? What did Franco tell me the act says? And it sounds logical or it sounds bad, and I really don't understand. And this is a birthright. I think one of the basic failings of the system in which Anilka and Anska were passed was a lack of follow-through on general information. I don't want to say education, but an information program to the natives on the street. What did this act do for them, and what does it mean to them? Gil Truitt addressed some of the leaders within the educational program within the Native community. And one thing he talked about was discipline and decisiveness. In coming from down south in a straight, very stringent business environment, it's kind of refreshing to come into the Native community and find out that the values are more than just the bottom line dollar. The objectives for the corporations are more than the maximum dollar you can make. There's a concern about the shareholders, a real concern about the people, and how are they affected by the corporate decisions. But at the same time, to compete in the business world, particularly like here in Southeast, where our markets for our resources is generally the overseas market, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Chinese, who are very ruthless and determined businessmen, there has to be established a pattern of discipline, a pattern of higher education, and cultivating Native leaders to accept. It's a foreign environment. It's an environment of confrontation, and it's not a comfortable environment to be in, but it's one that one must adapt to in order to maintain the corporate existence within the business community as it's been established. Divided, you're weak. United, you're strong. Being non-native, working with natives, and looking in through the peephole and the side of some of the gatherings, it's very obvious that there's so many different interests, so many common grounds, but also very subtle differences, which I feel that if could be overcome through an organization such as AMBANS, continued striving for cooperation. There is no stronger political group within the United States than the Alaska Native Group. And I feel this is one of your assets that you must cultivate. Put aside some of the smaller differences and concentrate on the greater common interests. Because without that, the representatives who represent districts such as New York, Chicago, New Orleans, San Francisco, that have the big population bases, carry the weight. Up here, we've got three representatives in roughly 450,000 population, 450,000 in the whole state. That's less than the population of metropolitan Portland, Oregon. Then you've got people that are representatives have cities in the millions. So that kind of puts a balance in the political climate of what we're fighting and how big a fight it's going to be to maintain the rights as natives. I had a stack of paper here, but it is late. I'm going to give it to Mr. Berger to read. It's a little bedtime reading. Basically, what this represents is evidence of overregulation, unfair application of the laws, or I don't want to really say unfair, but unequal application of regulatory agencies or laws. Evidence of outside influence trying to affect the direction of ANILCA and the Native corporations. And I hope through this, it won't be completely boring, but be informative to the point where you can see the massive effort of outside influences affecting the future of the Native corporations. Thank you.
We hope that this informational meeting has provided the background for testimony. Tom and the people of Sitka, this ends our agenda and leaves to you and to your party and those here with personal testimony tonight to see how you want to handle that.
Well, I just want to say how informative I have found the evening, and I do appreciate the care that you've taken to ensure that the history and the background of the land claims movement in Southeast Alaska and your own experience with ANCSA and ANILCA has been placed so clearly before us tonight. I intend to be back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock and to carry on from then until 12 o'clock and then to carry on again from 2 o'clock until 5 o'clock and then in the evening from 7 o'clock until as late as people wish me to do so to hear any of you and others who aren't here tonight give their own personal testimony. Ellen has suggested that we might carry on this evening long enough for any of you who won't have a chance to come tomorrow to give your personal presentation, your own personal testimony this evening. And that's perfectly all right with me. I think that's a good idea. So if any of you wish to come forward and speak. You don't need a written statement, just your own thoughts as they come to you. We'll carry on for a while tonight, and then we'll reconvene tomorrow morning at 10.
Yes.
All right, sure. Well, please come ahead.
My name is Jennifer Brady. My Tlingit name is Tanuk. I'm a shareholder of Sea Alaska and Sheattica. I'll just read it, I guess. I believe that Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act has divided our people. It has sown dissension between Native groups, families, and individuals. The act as it is has required our indoctrination into Western society as a matter of corporate survival, adopting its ways of thinking of self, money, power, etc., contrary to the Native cultural upbringing of thinking of the family, the clan, the elders, living off the land, etc. The act has further damaged racial relations between most races with the natives because of the ignorance of the general public regarding the act. The use of drugs and alcohol by our native people have been adversely affected by the act because of the universal acceptance of them in the handling of and closing of business deals. I have more, but I'd like to wait till tomorrow. It's not quite finished.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Else wish to say something this evening, you're certainly welcome to do so. Eileen? It's 10:15 and I'm told that there's coffee available, so if there is no one else who wishes to speak, and if we are going to adjourn now, for coffee, let me just thank you again for coming and for the presentations that were made this evening, and to invite you all to come tomorrow morning at 10. I know many of you are working and won't be able to do so, but we will be here at 10 in the morning, then 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And you're welcome to come to any or all of those sessions. And we'll adjourn now, and Mr. Williams?
Just a question on procedure for tomorrow. Is it going to be just voluntary or can you sign up?
Well, we found that it works pretty well if it's simply you come and we'll fit you in as soon as we can. And it seems to work out all right. We'll have a sign-up sheet, but we find it usually isn't necessary. That is, that it seems to work itself out in its own way, and so we'll just start at 10 and see how we make out. If we have a great many in the evening, we might have to use a sign-up sheet, but I hope you'll all come back again tomorrow, and I'll look forward to seeing you then, and I hope, am I right in inviting everybody to have a cup of coffee?
Uh-huh. I hope that there's a lot back there. I haven't tested. Mr. Berger, the privilege of speaking just for yourself is just as in order as speaking for a group or an organization. So those remarks about how you personally were affected and feel is very much in order for tomorrow.
Thank you.
The meeting is at ease until tomorrow.